Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast. But they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated him shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The feast is ready. Come to the feast. The good and the bad, come and be glad. Greatest and least, come to the feast. Through the scriptures, God proclaims that he has prepared a rich banquet, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And whoever you are, and whatever you've done, you're invited. For the feast has been prepared for all peoples. The Lord wants you to celebrate with him. As Jesus puts the invitation a few chapters after our text today, come and share your master's happiness. A number of important themes of Scripture come together in today's gospel. One of the foremost among them, one that certainly can't be missed in this parable, is that God calls people. It's a truth that can be seen from the very beginning, when newly sinful Adam and Eve heard God calling them in the garden in the cool of the day. It's repeated again and again as the scriptures move forward from there. Indeed, a number of the most important words the Bible uses to describe God's people literally mean those who have been called. The root meaning of the word translated as church is the called. Even the word congregation implicitly includes this idea, because the congregating or assembling that takes place is in response to God's calling. It's the Lord's call that has gathered and still gathers us as his people. In today's parable, Jesus underlines just how central this calling is in God's plans. According to the practice in that day, the king would have previously sent out word that there was going to be a wedding. This allowed the guests to clear their calendars and be ready to attend this important event. The parable begins as the king sends out his servants to all who had agreed to come, telling them that the feast is now ready. The oxen and the fattened calves have been prepared. The wine has been decanted. All that remains is for them to come and enjoy a great banquet. As was the case with the vineyard parables of the two sons and the wicked tenants, though, parables Jesus told to the chief priests and elders of the people on the same occasion as he told this parable, things didn't go according to plan. When the time for eating had arrived, the people who had said they would attend changed their minds. As Matthew reports, they refused to come. In light of the previous two parables and their interpretation, what's going on here is no mystery. Jesus is describing his audience. In this parable, he is trying to help them see themselves. They considered themselves faithful subjects of heaven's king. They knew the prophecies of a Messiah who was to come, and of a grand and glorious banquet that would take place when he ushered in his kingdom. They even expressed eagerness for the coming of that day and had a sincere desire to sit at table when the Lord hosted his great banquet. Now, with Jesus' arrival, the dinner bell had been rung. But these people weren't interested in joining the Lord at his son's wedding feast. Despite their refusal, though, God wasn't content to take no for an answer. So as in the parable, they were invited again and again. He kept knocking on the door of their hearts, urging them to come. Yet no matter how many times he called, they kept on rejecting his invitation. Jesus describes some as going off, one to his field, another to his business, others to mistreating and killing the servants. This last response of which we hear parallels that of the wicked tenants in the Lord's vineyard last week. Then those who had heard had responded, "These wretches should be brought to a wretched end." This certainly is a sobering warning. Those who take up arms against the Lord face total destruction. The first two responses, though, going off to one's field or business, may speak even more pointedly to us. These are ordinary activities. Activities which can generally be described as good. There's certainly nothing wrong with planting and looking after crops, nor with taking care of your livelihood by looking after your business. The problem here is that these things have been given an improper priority. Though there's nothing intrinsically wrong with working, and indeed there is much good in it, if one persistently allows it, or any other activity, to take precedence over the invitation of the king, it is nothing less than a damning decision. "I have more important things to do than to join you at your table, Lord," are words that are hardly likely to come out of your mouth. You know better than to say such things. But how do you live? As anyone who has ever promised lifelong love and faithfulness knows, It is far easier to say, "I will," on your wedding day than it is to be constantly and consistently loving and attentive to your spouse. What we say and what we do don't always match up very well. And the problems we have in doing are often far more difficult to overcome than our problems in promising. Everyone who has been confirmed has stood before the altar saying that they intend to be faithful in responding to God's call, in listening to His word, in receiving His supper, and in living according to His will. Nevertheless, I doubt that there is any Christian who can truthfully say that he's never gone off to field or business or something else when he could have come to the Lord's table. Thus, as it did for the priests and the elders, this parable shines a revealing light on your life and on mine. We don't have to take up arms against God's messengers to be in danger. Those who were not violent, but merely persistently ignored the king's invitation and went about their business, also missed out on the great banquet. Thus, the parable teaches very clearly a second theme of Scripture. Not only is our God a God who is continually calling and inviting, human beings all too often reject that invitation of the Lord. And when they do so, it is to their eternal peril. A third important theme of Scripture is seen in what happened next. The king said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone whom you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all of the people that they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Here is the gracious gospel, the call that includes humble, pious folk like Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Anna, skeptical Pharisees like Nicodemus, disreputable tax collectors like Zacchaeus and Matthew himself, and also sinners such as that woman caught in adultery and the thief being executed on the cross. Everyone is invited to the banquet. No matter what you have done, it has not put you beyond the reach of God's gracious call. The Lord's gracious and urgent invitation is what moves good and bad alike to turn away from everything that would distract them and prevent them from coming to His banquet. In the church, we usually call this turning and coming repentance and faith. That's the response God wants from everyone He calls. That's the response Jesus intended to provoke with this parable, both by solemn warning against turning down the king's invitation and gracious urging that a banquet is ready and waiting. He means to make you eager and excited to receive what He places before you: the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, gifts He conveys to you through His word and in the sacraments. Jesus concludes this parable on an ominous note. He tells of the king confronting one of his guests who wasn't wearing wedding clothes and having him thrown out. What's the point here? Everyone was invited. So this man too was an invited guest. And he didn't refuse the invitation like those others. He came to the feast.
So why is he cast out? What is this all-important wedding garment? The wedding garment is the righteousness of Christ. In the revelation to St. John, an elder speaks to him of those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. St. Paul writes of Jesus giving himself up for the church in order to make her holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that is, by holy baptism, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. St. Paul also says that all who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. So the problem with this fellow isn't that he hadn't been invited, nor that he was a sinner. There were plenty of others there who were sinners. This man's problem was that he refused the wedding garment the king furnished in holy baptism, that he chose to appear there in his own faulty self-righteousness, rather than to be clothed in the holy perfection Christ had worn for him. When the king asked him about his clothing, he was speechless. You, however, have an answer for the king's question about a wedding garment. Jesus' blood and righteousness, my beauty, are my glorious dress. In these arrayed I stand, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay, because Jesus lived and died for me. Because of this, because through baptism you have been clothed in Jesus' blood and righteousness, in the end, the Lord will wipe away every tear from your face. And with all of your fellow redeemed, you will rejoice with great joy. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. These bodies. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.